Thank you, Joe. Joe is a dear friend of mine. I've known him for several years now, and my love for him has grown with each passing year. And I appreciate him so much. He's so very sincere and so very kind and so very humble. And he's doing a great work with the church here in Hallsville. And I appreciate the brethren here in Hallsville inviting me back. This is the third time I've been privileged to preach in a meeting here. They did make a request that I bring some information concerning this wicked world in which we live and the problems that we're facing. So that's the reason I'm going to address the religion of Islam as a continuation of the Bible class this morning, because it's a reality that we must face whether we like it or not. Probably don't want to hear much about it, but we need to know about it because we're facing it. I do want to express my appreciation to the Sojourners for coming this morning. We have three families at Brown Trail that are members of the Sojourners, Larry and Hallie Johnson, and Bob and June Carruthers, and also Ralph and Kathleen Atkinson. So we know about the work. I've worked with Sojourners before in many different places and appreciate so very much the work that you do and your dedication and commitment to Christ. And I remember quite well when you were here in force last time I was privileged to be here, and we are very, very grateful indeed for that. My forte is just preaching the old-time gospel of Christ. That's what I love to do and what I do as best I know how. But every once in a while I get a request to preach a particular type of sermon. And though I don't just relish doing so, I feel committed to do as best I can. That's the reason I devoted the class this morning to the religion of Islam. We need to know about it. There are over 1 billion people in the world today that are of the Muslim faith. That's a lot of people. That's a sixth of the world's population. At very best, members of the Churches of Christ are around 2 million. 2 million compared to 1 billion. Think about that. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 concerning Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehendeth it not. How sad it is that people have rejected Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Savior. And yet we know we have a very formidable adversary in the personage of Satan. Jesus said concerning Satan that he is the father of lies, John chapter 8 and verse 44. No wonder then the Apostle John in the book of 1 John chapter 5 had this to say concerning God and Christ and Satan. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. So here is the mention of God and also of Satan. One translation renders it, and the whole world lieth in darkness. Well, that's a result of the evil one. It's a result of Satan's work, because Satan is the father of lies. And he's going to do his very best to delude people and deceive people, and he's the master of deceit. John goes ahead to say, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us an understanding, and that we know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Well, Islam and Christianity can't both be right, and that's for sure. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But those who walk in darkness are the ones that have been deceived by Satan and his lies. And thus, that brings us to the subject that we're discussing this morning. And as I've already stated, it's not that I relish dealing with this subject, but we know about it. And I'm going to present some things to you that are going to be very disturbing. But let me simply say in conclusion of the historical perspective on the religion of Islam, Muhammad died in 632 AD, so he really accomplished what he accomplished as far as the religion of Islam in a space of about 12 to 13 years, starting about 620 to 632 AD, 12 years' time, He got all of Arabia under his control. That's a tremendous accomplishment on his part. It's just so sad and too bad that it was bringing darkness over the whole land when he did that. But that's what happened. In 632, upon his death, there was a great disputation among his followers as to who should succeed him. And isn't that always the way it is when a tyrant or someone of that disposition passes on? Then there's a clamoring to take over control of his empire. Well, the Muslim religion was divided into two very distinct groups, the Sunnis and the Shiites. And you've probably heard of these groups. The Sunnis are the largest among them, comprising some 80% of the religion of Islam. The Shiites are somewhere between 15 and 20% of Islam. Then there are some other sects too, but those are the two main ones. And the Shiites are the ones that are most radical. Now, that's not across the board, because there are some Sunnis that are also radical, but the Shiites are generally known as the ones who are most radical, comprising some 10 or 15%. Well, when you think of 1 billion people, even if it's just 10%, you're looking at 100 million people that are of the Shiite persuasion and very radical in their furtherance of the religion of Islam. Do you remember in 1979 when the American embassy in Iran was overtaken by the Muslim people? And there was a spokesman for them called the Ayatollah. And that is a designation given to religious leaders who are also powerful in the realm of politics. In fact, all of the religion of Islam is an intermeshing between religion and political structure. And you can't just isolate them one from the other. They go hand in hand. And the one that was in charge at that time was the Ayatollah Khomeini. And you may remember him and all that we went through. The Americans were held captive for well over a year. And he often made this statement during that time, "Death to satanic America," when in reality they were the ones deceived by Satan. And of course, we're going to touch on tonight how America, to a great extent, has also been deceived by Satan, but in different ways other than the religion of Islam, in all of the immoral things that are taking place. And we're going to discuss humanism and all tonight. But here are the countries mainly impacted by Islam. Saudi Arabia, of course, is where the religion of Islam had its inception. The country of Iran is largely controlled by the Shiites, and that's the reason they're leading the way in persecuting Christian people. And when I use the term Christian in most of what I'm going to say this morning, I'm using it in the broad sense, not pertaining to the churches of Christ, but to those who profess Christianity of any ilk and stamp. But nonetheless, the countries of Saudi Arabia, Iran, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Jordan, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Turkey, and many of the Asian countries. For instance, Malaysia is largely Islamic today. And they've made inroads into India and many other areas of that part of the world, as well as into Europe. You may not know it, but there has been a great migration of Muslims into Europe and into Africa. And all of the troubles that have taken place in Nigeria and some of those other countries has been largely due to the Muslim influence of hatred and of the sword, as we learned this morning. And now the immigration into Europe is really taking a toll. One by one, the countries of Europe are giving way to the Sharia law, which is the most, you might say the worst part of Islam, because it advocates violence. And it's accompanied by violence. And England itself is really in a turmoil over the adoption of Sharia law. And some who are in positions of power have gone over in order to placate the Muslims, in order to favor them. They have been over backwards to allow them to enact Sharia law in portions of England. And France is in turmoil right now. And And several spokesmen of the European nations have admitted that within another 30 to 40 years, Europe is going to be largely of the religion of Islam. And they're making inroads into America just as surely as we're gathered here this morning. There are some 8 to 9 million Muslims in America today, but they are having an influence that is almost unbelievable. And I'm going to share with you some things, and I can't begin to get to all of them, but I want to share with you some things that show what the religion of Islam is really all about. My brother-in-law, a brother to my wife, Fran, lived recently up in the Washington, D.C. area. And he was at a mall one day, and there were Muslims handing out this little book that I hold in my hand. And they were handing them out to everybody that was going in the mall, propagating their religious ideas. And so he took the book, and he read it, and then he told me about it, and I said, I'd like to see it, and he shared it with me. And I've read through it, and it's rather shocking to read some of the things that are in this book. We believe that the Sharia, that's the Islamic law, of the Prophet Muhammad, is the religion of Islam which Allah has chosen for his servants and does not accept any other religion. Because Allah the Exalted said, surely the true religion in Allah's sight is Islam. Now these people believe that down deep in their hearts. They believe there's only one religion and that religion is Islam. And their mission is to take over the world for the religion of Islam. And I want to read to you on the next page what it says. This is page 22 of this booklet. It is our opinion, and I suppose these were the editors of the book that made that observation, that whoever claims the acceptability of any other existing religion today other than Islam, such as Judaism, Christianity, and so forth, is a non-believer. That is, a non-believer in Allah and a non-believer in the Prophet Muhammad. And he should be asked to repent. If he does not, he must be killed as an apostate because he is rejecting the Holy Quran. Now, my friends, that's what they believe. And that is exactly what is taking place in the world. For several years, especially so since 9/11, I have read through the paper. We get the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And I have cut out tons of articles, one nearly every day, telling what is happening in other parts of the world. And I'm fearful that many of our own people hide their heads in the sand and do not inform themselves as to what's going on. And I really regret that. We need to be a knowledgeable people, number one, to understand the will of the Lord. I think oftentimes of Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, that's our number one priority, to understand what the will of the Lord is, and the will of the Lord is revealed to us in the book of books, the Bible, which is truly from God. The Quran is not from God. Anybody with any sense would soon recognize that. I have read most of the book of that's called the Quran, and it is nonsensical. Much of it is. It doesn't even make sense. It jumps from one subject to the other. There's no unity in it at all, and it's filled with a lot of hateful statements. And I want to just share with you some of these clippings, and I'm going to delete a lot of it because it's so long. But these are all from the Fort Worth Telegram. This was taken out of the paper on in the year 2008. Fighters vow to rule by strict Muslim law. Advancing ever closer to Somalia's beleaguered capital, Mogadishu, heavily armed Islamic fighters declared Thursday that they will use strict Muslim rule to bring their lawless country under control. Now, they're talking about Sharia law. And Sharia law states that those who are non-believers, that is, non-believers in Allah and in Muhammad, are subject to being put to death. It's just that simple. The insurgents who are fighting to enforce Sharia law We inform you that from today on, all areas under our control will be ruled by Islam. And they mean that. And when they rule, people are killed. Now I'm just going to, these are at random. I spent hours trying to prepare for this, Joe. Thank you a lot for inviting me to do this. But I had already clipped out all these articles, so I read through them all again. And I didn't even bring near half of them that I picked out. But anyway, Pakistan religious group are hailing the fact that governor of Punjab was killed recently. Now, let me tell you why he was killed. There was a woman who had embraced Christianity. Now, of course, again, I use that in a broad sense. But this woman was a field worker in the farms of the state of Pakistan. And the women that were working with her were all Muslims. And so they kept on picking at her and urging her to come back to Islam. And she made this statement. She said, Jesus Christ died on the cross that I might be saved. What has Muhammad done for me? And they immediately go and report that to the authorities. And so this woman then was taken into custody and placed in prison. And the governor of Punjab, the province in Pakistan where this took place, was very compassionate. However, he was a Muslim, but he was not among the radical Muslims. And so he goes to her in prison and then pleads her case. So the increasing radicalization of Pakistani society was laid bare Wednesday when the nation's mainstream religious organization applauded the slaying of the provincial governor of Punjab. His name was Salman Taseer. This week, while his killer was showered with rose petals as he appeared in court. Taseer, 66, the governor of Punjab, the country's most heavily populated province, was assassinated Tuesday. This was January the 6th of 2011, by one of his own police bodyguards after Taseer campaigned to ease Pakistan's blasphemy law. If you say anything in a Muslim country that might be an insult or interpreted as an insult to Muhammad or to the Quran or to the religion of Islam, you're subject to being killed. And people need to know that. And I don't believe that many people inform themselves well enough to know that. Let me go ahead and say, religious groups threaten to kill others who question the blasphemy statute, which is designed to protect Islam and the Prophet Muhammad from insult. The man accused of the killing, and it gives his name and I can't pronounce it, appeared Wednesday in a court, unrepentant, where waiting lawyers threw handfuls of rose petals over him, and others in the crowd patted him on the back and kissed his cheek, and he was led out of the court as a hero. This man brutally killed the governor of Punjab because he went to the aid of the woman that was accused of blasphemy. You say, well, that can never happen in America. Beloved, we're going to learn tonight and in this meeting that things are happening in America that we never dreamed would happen anyway. And don't think for one moment that it can't happen here, because the present administration is very favorably disposed toward Islam. And a person would have to be naive not to know that. And I'm not dealing in politics, but some of it is almost going to be impossible to discuss some of the things without pointing out what's happening in America, because the whole idea of this is to make us as Christians stronger in the true faith. And you cannot fight, because we're not ever going to fight with guns. The Lord taught a peaceful religion. And so I'm not going to take up a shotgun and go shoot somebody because he doesn't agree with me. But at the same time, I need to be equipped with the information that I need in order to show people what we're facing. We're facing a very, very desperate enemy in our land as far as the religious factor is concerned. Article after article after article concerns suicide bombing. Here's one dated March 29th, 2011. That's just 3 or 4 months ago. Afghan suicide bomber attacks and kills 23 people and seriously injures 60 others. This was because of the religion of Islam. 78 die in accidental blast in Yemen. An arms manufacturing was being taken over by Muslim radicals that were trying to overthrow the powers in Yemen, and accidentally there was an explosion, and 78 people died as a result of that explosion. Abducted Afghan boy killed after his father refuses a ransom demand. Listen to this. Insurgents in southern Afghanistan hanged an 8-year-old boy. Now, I want you to picture that. 6 days after they had abducted him, the Afghan government said today, his father, a police officer, refused to supply the captors with a police vehicle. He, of course, was assaulted by the insurgents, which were Muslims, and they hung this little 8-year-old boy because his father refused to recant. 76 killed in Baghdad attacks. That's from November the 3rd, 2010. And it says here, Iraqi Christian women mourned during a funeral Monday for 58 people killed in an attack on one of the few Christian churches, and evidently it was the Catholic Church because it makes mention of the Mass. But nonetheless, they're viewed, whether they're Catholics or Protestants or whatever, if they profess Christian, they're subjects of being killed. Wedding party explosion kills 40. That's from Afghanistan, and this was a so-called Christian a wedding that was taking place, and so they bombed it and 48 people killed. A Saudi man gets 4 months and 90 lashes for kissing a woman in public. It's a brutal law. The Sharia law is a brutal law. Here's an article from January the 12th, 2011. This is this year. Iran rounds up dozens of Christians. And these people are put in trial, they're sentenced to lashes or imprisonment, their goods are confiscated, and all sorts of that. Machete attack kills 19 villagers in central Nigeria who profess to be Christians. And who attacked them? The Muslims. Here is an article from Iraq. At least 19 die in Iraq church standoff. Christian church, and I don't know what denomination it was surrounded. 120 Iraqi Christians were held for hostage nearly 4 hours, and 14 of them were killed in the assault upon that church. Just one article after another, and like I say, I've left so many of them at home. Taliban executes 10 aid workers in Afghanistan. Now, these people were doctors and dentists that had gone over there to help the people of Afghanistan, I don't know what their religious persuasion was, but they were aid workers from an American Christian religion, and they were taken out of their truck, lined up at the side of the road, and all of them shot and killed. Well, true Christians wouldn't do something like that. No way at all. We need to know our enemy and the ruthlessness of our enemy. Islamist protest and show of strength. This is from Egypt. And this is after this was taken July the 30th. That's real recent. And a protest of the radical Islams to make Egypt comply with the Sharia law after the turmoil that has taken place in that land. Now, you ladies don't know how lucky or fortunate you are to live in a Christian type of community, because women under Sharia law have no rights whatsoever. And honor killings in the Middle East. This was taken from the Dallas Morning News. I happened to pick up a Dallas Morning News that day. This dates back to 1997, but let me read just a little bit of that. Honor killings in the Middle East. Taking women's lives for family name honor is rooted in conservative traditions of Islam. In Turkey and countries across the Middle East, this so-called honor killing has become an issue of public debate. After being committed for generations, Dozens of women are killed for honor each year in a practice rooted in conservative traditions of Islam, and in some cases, misreading of religious codes, government moral behavior in Islam. On and on it goes. There are no reliable statistics on the prevalence of honor homicides. In Jordan, for example, activities estimated 30 to 40 women a year slain by either their husbands, the father, or brothers if they insult Islam. And to insult Islam, if they don't put their mask on or whatever it is that they put on, or if they say something that they shouldn't, or if they disobey their husband, anything that brings dishonor to the family, the husband or the father or the brothers are justified by Sharia law to either beat them, whip them, or kill them. Fathers, brothers, or husbands, I'm reading right out of the article, say they are justified for killing their daughters, sisters, or wives if the women taint the family reputation. The most common offenses are an unmarried woman involved with another man, or women engaging in behavior that traditional communities regard as immoral or inappropriate for Muslim women. In the Middle East, what is considered acceptable behavior is sometimes determined according to the codes of honor drawn up by the men in village coffee houses or local social clubs. If a woman leaves home for any reason, it doesn't matter whether she actually did anything wrong, once the men, her father, husband, or brother, cannot hold their heads high, they are allowed to put her to death. In countries such as Jordan and Egypt, where religion underpins society's moral structure, experts say Islam indirectly plays a role in how men form relationships with women, and on the article goes. Ladies, you're very fortunate to live in a country where women are respected and not mistreated as they are in Islamic countries. Here is an article from America to show you how it is making inroads into our own country. This is Dateline Orchard Park, New York, February 18th, 2009. Some speculate the decapitation of the wife was an honor killing. The crime drips with brutal irony. A woman decapitated, allegedly by her estranged husband, in the office of the television network that the couple had founded with the hope of countering Muslim stereotyping. And then it gives his name, which is a long Muslim name, is accused of beheading his wife last week, days after she filed for divorce. On Thursday, Hassan went to a police station and told officers his wife was dead. We found her laying in the hallway of the office complex, the police detective said. A woman who teaches Islam in the University of Buffalo had this to say. She explained that the behavior of honor killing as a practice still is accepted among fanatical Muslim men who feel betrayed by their wives. If a woman breaks the law which the husband or father has placed for the wife or daughter, honor killing is justified. Just recently in Irving, Texas, and my son, my youngest son, is a detective on the Irving Police Department, these two very lovely teenage girls were murdered by their father in his taxi cab. And one of them grabbed her cell phone as her father was informing them what he was going to do, and makes at least one cell phone call, and he commences to shoot them to death, beautiful girls, because he said they were becoming too Americanized. And he had it all arranged, evidently, and the police have still not apprehended him even to this day. Here is a picture taken over in Afghanistan of a husband beating his wife in public. He has a large stick there because she insulted him and dishonored him. Here is an article that came out October of 2008, Christian aid worker slain for proselyting. Here is a woman that went to Afghanistan to do good. Militants claimed that the Taliban leaders ordered the woman's death because she was teaching her faith. Taliban assailants on a motorbike gunned down a Christian aid worker in Kabul on Monday, and the militant said she was killed for spreading her religion. Gail Williams, a 34-year-old dual British South African national who had helped handicapped Afghans, was shot to death as she was walking to work at 8 a.m. A spokesman for the militant said the Taliban ordered her killed because she was accused of proselyting. Any other religion has no freedom whatsoever in an Islamic state. While the Muslims in America, oh, they want lots of tolerance and they want lots of freedom over here, but if you lived in a country where they dominate, there's no tolerance whatsoever. Our leaders issued a decree to kill her, the spokesman said. Britain's Secretary of State for International Development called the killing a callous and cowardly act, and et cetera, et cetera. Here is another picture here. This was taken out of the paper in October of 2008. Journalism student is sent to prison for 20 years for blasphemy. Let's listen to what he did. An Afghan appeals court overturned a death sentence Tuesday. They had sentenced him to death for a journalism student accused of blasphemy for simply asking a question in class about women's rights under Islam. But the judges still sentenced him to 20 years in prison, though they commuted his death sentence. The case against Parvez Kamavash has come to symbolize Afghanistan's slide toward an ultra-conservative view on religion and individual freedoms. He was studying journalism at Bach University in the northern city of Sharif and writing for local newspapers when he was arrested. Beside the accusation that he disrupted class with his questions, prosecutors also said he illegally distributed an article that he had printed over the internet that asked why Islam does not modernize to give women equal rights with men. He also allegedly wrote his own comments on the paper. In January, a lower court sentenced him to death for asking why women don't have rights the same as men do. Muslim clerics welcomed that the court's decision, and public demonstrations were held against him, that is when he was sentenced to death, but it was later commuted to 20 years in prison. Women being killed over choice of outfit. This is from Baghdad, dated year 2007. Religious vigilantes have killed at least 40 women this year in the southern city of Basra because of how they dress. Their mutilated bodies have been found with notes warning against violating Islamic teaching. Major Khalafi blames sectarian groups that he said are trying to impose the Sharia law strict interpretation of Islam. The women of Basra are being horrifically murdered and then dumped in the garbage with notes saying they were killed for un-Islamic behavior. Those who are behind these atrocities are organized gangs who work undercover religion, pretending to spread the instructions of Islam, and on that article goes. And I know this is tedious to you, and I apologize for that. And I don't mean to be misunderstood. I don't hate people, nobody. But I hate the sin that takes place in people's lives and the crazy ideas that people can get due to allowing themselves to be deceived by Satan. That's the reason we as Christians should always be on a desire to know more of God's will. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Jesus taught. Oh, what a difference in the Christian religion and the religion of Islam. There's all the difference in the world. Here's another article. Extremists in Basra targeting women. Women in Basra have become the targets of a violent campaign by religious extremists who leave more than 15 female bodies scattered around the city each month. Can you just murdering women because they don't have the proper garb on or somehow they insulted Islam? And it goes ahead to tell about that. Here's another one. This is from the year 2007. A Saudi court on Tuesday more than doubled the number of lashes. Now, this is incredible. Here is where a woman was taken out by a whole carload of men and raped and assaulted for nearly a day's time. And do you know what the Islamic court did? It sentenced her to 90 lashes. because she had gotten in a car with a man who was not her husband or brother or father. That's what the article says. The victim's name was not released. She was 19 years of age at the time of the assault. Her case has been widely debated since the court sentenced her to 90 lashes a year ago for being in the same car with an unrelated man, even after it ruled that she had subsequently been raped by 7 or 8 men. For a woman to be in seclusion with a man who is not her husband or a relative is a crime under Sharia law. Angry Sudanese called for teachers' execution. This is from Sudan. Thousands of Sudanese, many armed with clubs and swords, beat drums and burned pictures of British teacher Friday and demanded her execution for insulting Islam. Now, let me tell you what her crime was. She had gone over there to teach little children, and she was teaching a kindergarten class, and they had a little teddy bear. And she suggested that they name the teddy bear Muhammad. And because of that, they sentenced her to death. Fortunately, due to international outrage, she had that commuted to 15 days in prison and deported because of insulting Islam. Here is a picture from, I think, Afghanistan of a woman being buried up to her neck and was going to be stoned for insulting Islam. I don't know what she did. Here is a picture of another woman at a soccer field with a man pointing a gun at her head, fixing to kill her for whatever she had done. Here is another article of that same one that I was reading about a while ago that had been assaulted by all those men and had been sentenced to 90 lashes. Here is a duplication of a torture manual that was taken off of a Taliban soldier who was killed. And it is unbelievable the tortures that the religion of Islam uses on those who are accused of insulting them or teaching something other than Islam. And anybody wants to see this, I'll be glad for you to see it. 6 Christians killed by riding Muslims. This is also from Afghanistan, dated 2009. Hundreds of riding Muslims attacked Christians in eastern Pakistan on Saturday. Now, this is from Pakistan. Burning and looting homes in a rampage that killed 6 Christians, including a child, and injuring 10 others in the latest violence against minorities in this conservative Muslim community. Extreme Muslims organized torching Christian homes in a village in the Punjab city of Gafra. 40 Christian homes were burned on Thursday. It just goes on and on and on of what's taking place. Here is an article concerning insistence on Sharia law in the country of Pakistan. And this is coming to America. Believe me, it's coming to America. Some of our courts have already given in to Sharia law in certain cities. And in one city of America in particular, the city of Detroit, Dearborn, Michigan in particular, is largely now under the control of Islam. I don't know whether you knew that or not. But it is. Here's an article from the 2009 paper in Nairobi, Kenya. In a brazen show of power in Somalia's capital, Islamist rebels punished 4 men convicting of stealing cell phones and other items by cutting off a hand and a foot. They either cut the right hand and the left foot off or the left foot and the right hand. That is perhaps enough of those articles. But now I want to show you some more things. This is an organization in America called Barnabas Aid. I really don't know who all's involved in Barnabas Aid, but their ministry is to try and help Christians, and I use that term again in a broad sense, in Islamic countries that are suffering persecution. And to read through that is just unbelievable. And an article that came in another publication put out this particular one had this in it. Fatima al-Matar, a 26-year-old Saudi Christian, listen to this now, had her tongue cut out and was burned to death, apparently by her brother, when her family found out that she had converted from Islam to Christianity. Had her tongue cut out and then burnt to death alive by her own brother. And just article after article on that, I wish I had time. There's a suicide bomber who hit the CIA base in 2010, and seven CIA employees were killed in that bombing attack. And this woman spoke out concerning her husband and called him a hero for what he had done. A Jordanian doctor, he was a doctor, turned suicide bomber who killed seven CIA employees in a base in Afghanistan, is regarded by his family as a martyr in Islam's holy war. They call it the jihad. The United States, his wife said Thursday, "I am proud of him. My husband has carried out a great operation in such a war. May Allah accept his martyrdom," she said. Well, that's exactly what's going on. Now, to get more specific, there is an organization called the Christian Action Network. I don't know whether you've ever read it or not, but I get it all the time. And they tell how that Muslims are making inroad into our educational system. Certainly so in the higher levels, in our colleges and universities, nearly every one now has a Far East, or rather a Mideast segment to their teaching where Islam is taught. But he had read through some of the textbooks that are being used in public schools in some segments of our society, not all across America, but in lots of them. And here he just gave a question and answer that these kids are being required to do. Recite aloud Muslim prayers that begin, "In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful." Now, can you imagine American school children being taught that? It's happening. Memorize the Muslim profession of faith. Allah is the only true God and Muhammad is his messenger. American school children being taught to say that. They're being taught in some schools, not all of them, by a long shot. Praise be to Allah in response to the teacher's prompting. They profess as true the Muslim belief that the Holy Quran is God's word. They are taught to design Muslim prayer rugs, to give up candy and TV to demonstrate the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, to wear an emblem of the Muslim star and crescent moon, to take on an Islamic name and wear identification tags displaying their new Muslim name, march in the cause of Allah. If you do not fight, he will punish you sternly and replace you with others. And on that goes. That is disturbing beyond words to say. Now, real quickly, and I'll conclude. There's just so much, there's no way to get through it. Are any of you familiar with this magazine called Think? I say, Joe, Brother Brad Harab, have any of you ever heard of Brad? Wonderful, wonderful man. And he has come out with this Think magazine, which deals with a lot of different issues. And this particular one is on the religion of Islam. And several things in here would just make your blood curl that he talks about. But you will be shocked to learn what some of our American school children are being taught in schools that have a strong Islam influence, and the people in those communities don't know what to do with it because they're fearful of in any way insulting Islam, because tolerance has been taught so long in our country. We're to be tolerant of all things, and especially Islam. And everything is under the subject of being tolerant except Christianity. No tolerance for Christianity. Do you want children to learn the glories of Islam while Christianity is being disparaged, distorted, and maligned? Do you want children taught that Christianity is a harsh, unforgiving, and perhaps evil religion while Islam is perfect, glorious, and honorable? That's being taught in some of our schools, and he gives specifics. But our time has run out, and I know that this is tedious to you. There's just tons of material, and I would urge you, I don't know where you live or what papers you pick up, but if you get any large paper, as you read through it every day, just see what you find that's going on in our world and in America, too. And then there's another one I was going to get to, but I don't have time to do it. It's just too much, Joe. We're going to be done with Islam today, even though we could talk about it for hours and hours on end. But Perhaps this will suffice to at least alarm you or warn you to the what's taking place. And they're making inroads in our country that you will not believe. Do you know that two of the president's appointments to our national security team are avowed Islamic people? Can you imagine people with this kind of training being put in our national security? Makes you tremble when you think of the ramifications of what's going on in our great nation. And we're in the midst of it. And we're living in this time, like it or not, when things are changing and not for the better in many instances. And we need to know about it. It's very disconcerting to read about it. I get all upset reading all this stuff. And I've thrown away hundreds of articles just because there's just too many. I don't have room for them. But this gives you just an idea of what's in the major papers nearly every day. If you take the Dallas Morning News or the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, I'll guarantee you, day after day, there's articles telling you what's going on. But most of our people just don't even pay. It never happened in America. Well, you better think twice. There are things happening in America that we never dreamed would happen. And we're going to learn that when we study tonight, humanism. And again, most of our people don't know what all is involved in humanism and the inroads that it's making in our society when we get into immorality and things of that nature. I'm so thankful for the true and living God. And by the way, do you know that Islam says you cannot know Allah? But Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ," John 17, verses 2 and 3. So we can know God. We can know him by nature that surrounds us, but more specifically, we can know him because he has revealed in his word, the Bible, what we need to know about him. His love and his grace and his mercy and the fact that he's provided a Savior for all mankind. And Jesus Christ, his Son, came from heaven above to this low ground of sin and sorrow for the very purpose of taking your sins and mine and placing them on himself and going to the cross in our behalf. Him who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God through him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Let's praise the true and the living God, and let's thank him every day that we live for his Son Jesus Christ and for the salvation that he's brought into this world and for true Christianity, the love, the compassion, the mercy of true Christians, the truth that brightens our day. And let's be very evangelistic in trying to reach out to as many people as we can, including Muslims, even though they're very hard to reach. I hope and pray that this has at least stimulated your thinking. It was a very difficult task that I was assigned, but we tried to cover it to some extent. If you're present here this morning and you're not a New Testament Christian, we would urge you to obey the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the true God, your faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, and believing in him with all of your heart, turn away from that which is wrong to that which is right. We call that repentance. Repent of your sins. Be willing to confess the sweetest name that ever came from mortal tongue, the precious name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, before your fellow man and be baptized straightway into him for the remission of sins. If you are a member of the Lord's church and you've not lived as you ought, maybe you haven't been as active as you should be in serving him, now'd be a good time to make that right. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if you are subject to heaven's invitation in any way, we pray that you'll come while together we stand and sing.